Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Right, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praises to the Most High God of Israel. I want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel. And here reading for me is my lovely wife, Rhea Serene Israel Sage. Shabbat shalom, Queen.
Shabbat shalom, King Priest. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat, happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Ashar Shabbat. Ashar Shabbat. Today we're dealing with the creation. We're in the fifth day. We're in the fifth day of the creation. What do you mean? We are dealing with those things that belong to the fifth day. Those things that came from the fifth day. Those things such as the fish, birds, insects, whales, blood, plasma. All those things came from the fifth day. And this is what we're dealing with. So with that being said, as we always encourage our brothers and sisters, please, our family that's listening online, our brothers and sisters that listen online and tune in regularly, please, our sisters, cover your head as we approach the Father. And brothers, uncover your head as we approach the Father in the name of Jesus.
I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Who privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land that may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I have read Psalms 101, verses 1 through 8. In Jesus' holy, precious, mighty name we pray. Amen Amen and amen.
Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us to enter your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth the physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brothers and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them and hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the faith. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and do it forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's another Sabbath.
It is another Sabbath. Thank
you. We one Sabbath closer to the Sabbath Sabbath.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, my God. We want to say welcome to another episode of the Sound of Living Waters. We are in the creation study right now. And we are in the fifth day. What is the fifth day? Amen. What is the fifth day, and what are those things, what did that mean to us? What is the fifth day to us, I should say? And, my goodness, we want to say right now to our family that's tuning in on Facebook, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to you as well. Today we're dealing with the creation. We're still dealing with the creation. We're in the fifth day now. What is the fifth day? What did he do on the fifth day? Those things that belong to the fifth day. We're going to find out it's very intricate and that it's not as plain and corny as we've been taught. You know, all these, you know, he just created the whales and the fish and all these sort of things. But we're going to find out that he actually really did a whole lot of work when he brought forth the fifth day and those things that belong to the fifth day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, that being said, let's pick this up in Genesis chapter 1, because as we, you know, we like to bring everybody up to speed, and we start from verse chapter 1, and verse 1, when we start into a new day, we like to bring everybody up to speed of what we're dealing with, amen? Okay. So, with that being said, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis 1 and 1, read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
So the first thing we dealt with was in the beginning. What is the beginning? Well, we found out the beginning was nothing. It was nothing there but him and God. I mean, the Father and the Son. There was nothing there. Just he created nothing. And what we found out that nothing is the most powerfulest thing or being that God could have ever created. What do you mean? Because he put everything in nothing. And nothing is keeping everything in check. Wrap our minds around that, but that's the real conversation. He created nothing to put everything in it. How about that? Not just things, but even time. You know, he put time in nothing. He put gravity in nothing. He put spiritual beings in nothing. You know, so nothing is the most powerfulest thing aside from himself he could have created. I mean, when I talk about the firmament, God knows that is the firmament is sovereign and it's powerful. It houses everything, the cosmos and everything, but nothing keep that. So in the beginning, right? Then you got God. That's the Father and the Son, right? We
covered that. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God. You know, the Big Bang Theory, boom, in the beginning was the Word. So we covered that. He created. What else we read that? Read that one again.
Okay. Go back. Genesis 1 and 1 read. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
So he created heaven, and heaven he created from himself. We've seen that. We also seen what heaven is made of, what it looked like, you know, according to the scriptures. We didn't draw out any imaginary thing. We actually allowed the scriptures to dictate what heaven looked like. And it's on fire. That's why man can't go there. That's why man can never go there. It's far. It's too, in fact, it's billions of light years from here. You know, it's over 4.5 billion light years. We can count that, right? It's over 4.5 billion light years from here. And if it's 4.5 billion light years, we just don't have enough time to even get there as a man. So no man can get there, you know, and how is God coming back and forth from heaven and here? That's another question that we'll be answering in the sixth day when he created Adam and Eve. Then he created the earth. The earth, right? He created that from heaven, you know, and I know everything that we see on the earth wasn't there. Trees, water, none of that. The earth is created from heaven. It was a big ball of fire, just like heaven. Heaven is an eternal flame, which is created from God. God, the Lord our God is a consuming fire. So he created heaven from himself. He created the earth from heaven, which is from himself. So the earth is created to last forever. That's why it's a big ball of fire. That thing that we see, the molten lava and all that type of stuff, it never burns out. That's the life of the planet. That's eternal. That's eternal. That's an eternal fire. It'll consume a flesh and blood being instantly. You see, this is that conversation. So that molten lava is what heaven looked like. And no man can dwell in that. We don't have a suit that can, we can go swim in lava and say, okay, what's in the bottom of this? You ain't gonna find out. We don't have an instrument that can go down there.
No.
Why? Because it's eternal.
Amen.
Continue.
Amen. Genesis 1 and verse 2 reads, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
So we see here the earth was without form and void. That means it didn't have any laws and statutes. Now it does. It has evening and morning, right? It has seasons, right? It has light and darkness. It has laws and statutes now. The earth has many laws and statutes all over the planet. So we cover those things that the earth is governed by laws and statutes now. But before then, it was void and didn't have any of that. What do you mean? When he created it from heaven, it didn't have none of those things. It had no such thing as trees and air and anything like that. It was just a big ball of fame. Then he created this thing on top of that ball of flame and gave it laws and statutes. And also he said, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. There's no such thing as the sun and the moon, right? And who created darkness? I mean, we can't. We can create light. We can't create darkness. That's from God. You know, that dark matter in between the planets and the stars and things like that, you know, that's darkness. Without the sun and the moon, that's all you will see is that darkness that's in between us in our atmosphere, our ozone. That's something that we would see. That would be it. We would not be able to see anything. If the sun and the moon went black right now, we wouldn't be able to see nothing. That's the darkness that was in the beginning. That's the darkness that's eternal. Man can create light, but we can't create that. If we can create that darkness, then we can create eternity because that's eternal. Then he said this, he said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Wait a minute, where did water come from? That's another thing. How did he create water? What did that come? So we covered that, you know. What is this darkness? What is water? What is water coming from? And it's on the earth in the first day. You know, so all these things are laid the foundations of. We covered these things in detail, just like we're about to get ready to go into this fifth day. You see, we covered all that too. So it says this, and he moved upon the face of the water. So God put water on top of the earth. Where did he get water from? That's the next question, right? Did he create it? Where did it come from? That's a good question. There's an answer for that in the scriptures. Let's look at that. Continue. Yes, ma'am.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
So this light isn't the sun and the moon, because the sun and the moon was created on the fourth day. This is still the first day. So what light is this? Well, we covered that. We found out that this light is himself, laws and statutes. He created the everything to function from laws and statutes. He wrote everything to operate within the bounds of laws and statutes. That's why you don't see planets crashing into each other. That's why you don't see light just staying light. You know, you don't see day. I mean, certain parts of the earth, I mean, because of our solar system in the way it's set up, some parts of the earth is light and some parts of the earth is dark, you know, for extensive periods of time, but it never remains mixed. It's either one or the other, you see. So there's laws for that. And then we have the laws of the air and the planets, and we have gravity, we have the solar system. You know, you got all these different light laws for everything. The laws we're about to read about the fish and the things that's in the waters. You know, those laws are there. That's part of that. When he said, let there be light, that's a part of that, you know. Continue.
Genesis 1 and 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness.
That's judgment. That's judgment. He saw the light, that it was good, and we found out that light, you know, represent righteousness, and darkness represented wickedness. Didn't have anything to do with your color, your skin, and this, that, and the other. It had everything to do with righteousness and wickedness. And that's why you talk about men and darkness comprehended it not. And man chose darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So he said there's going to be a judgment of light and darkness, righteousness and wickedness. That's the biggest problem with us as far as man concerned. It's why we don't want to believe in God. Yeah, we know that there's going to be a judgment, but we are witness to ourselves. You know, even in our institutions of learning and higher learning and things like that. What do you mean? 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 = 3 is wrong. That brings judgment. Mm-hmm. That makes us a witness to ourselves. There is a judgment. And it's just that simple. 1 + 1 = 3. Continue.
Amen. Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the morning and the evening. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Really?
Yes.
And the evening and the morning were the first day. So we covered that. What is the evening and what is the morning? You know, and that was the first day. So what is the first day of the week? Well, that'll be tomorrow, Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. You look at your calendar, that's the first day. Today is the seventh day. So what did he tell us about the first day? There is going to be the judgment on the seventh, the first day. What do you mean? He's going to separate the light from the darkness on the first day of the week. He spoke to Aaron from the beginning. We covered that. That there will be a judgment on the first day of the week, which just so happened to be the eighth day of man. 1 and 8 will meet, right? 1. And the eighth day of man is going to coexist, right? That's going to bring judgment. Why? Man is going to be circumcised on the eighth day, and we're going to stand in a judgment if we don't come up in the first resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. So the first day and the eighth day, 1 + 8 is what?
Mm-hmm.
Case in point. That's when man going to meet eternity. Whether we find ourselves worthy to be in the kingdom of God or go into the lake, go find eternity, one way or the other, but it's coming. That's the first day of the week. Continue, Ma.
Verse 9. Amen.
Like I said, we like to do a summary before we even get into the day we actually dealing with. Everybody can get kind of caught up. You know, if you really want to get caught up, go look at the creation lesson that we did this season. Continue.
Genesis 1 and 6.
Yes, ma'am.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
So God divided the waters from the waters. What do you mean? The waters that was on the earth, right? Because we asked where the water come from. Well, of course, you know, the scripture, we covered that already. And now we see this water being separated from the water. So, and then you put a firmament in the midst. That's that thing that where your cosmos go, your sun, your moon, and your stars, and all the planets, and all those different things, you know, our solar system, let alone our galaxy. And then we have other things out there, you know, other galaxies. And it, I will say safely, our galaxy, our universe, our solar system is in this firmament. But you have other galaxies, other universes, and other solar systems also. This also in this giant thing called the cosmos. The God of Israel created this thing. That's why we can't measure it, because it's beyond measure. We don't have the measurement to measure nothing. How do we end up, you know, we even brought up, the God of Israel even showed us by the firmament that, how he calls it to rotate, you know, those things. So we went into detail in that too. So if you want to pick up on that, go back and look at the firmament precepts. Listen to them if you can. Continue.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse nine. Mm-hmm. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called you seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day.
Now, here it is. Now, we actually covered that. What do you mean? Well, when you look at this, and you say, what did it, you know, let the dry land appear. Well, where did the water go? Well, we covered that, where the water went. The Lord said he got underground storage.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, that he allowed the water to go. And he reminded us that they're in the storehouses in the days of Noah, because he said, and the storehouses broke open. You know, so not only did you have rain come down from heaven, this torrential rain, but the bottom, the depths of the earth blew open the water. So there was no way man was going to survive that. No way it was man going to survive that. Only those that was in that boat. That was it. Wiped out the earth with water. Why? Because we got places for the water to go. We call them storehouses. Then we got witnesses that the earth was up under water. What do you mean? Look at the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. It got rings in it. It got time windows. How long the water was upon the earth. And then when it dissipated. For good. You know. So we even got that conversation. You know, and then he said, what do you mean? The earth came forth out of the water. Well, we even figured out God showed us how he did that, volcanic activity. You know, all of us is living on top of the earth. All of us are, you know, every continent on the planet is a mountain. Every continent on the planet is a mountain. And then you got some of these places, like the United States is a big mountain, you know. The Americas is a big mountain, you know, because of cover Canada, the United States, and South America. It's a big mountain. And then you have Africa. That's another giant mountain, you know, that was created from volcanic activity when he put water on earth, right? So he said, let the dry land appear. So there's another giant continent. Africa is a giant mountain. Then you have Europe and Eastern Europe and things like that. That's a giant mountain that the world is on top of, and it got its certain minerals and things like that inside of it, you know. And same thing with the United States, it got its certain minerals and things inside of it, and then you got the mountain peaks, the things from the mountains, like the areas of the mountain, you got these little mountain peaks. That's where you find your islands and things like that, like Ireland, you know, and the Pacific, you know, like Asia, not Asia, but Asia Minor is like in Africa and things like that. Excuse me. But mountain peaks would be like Malaysia, Japan, the Philippines, things like that. Those are mountain peaks. And so they are an extension of one giant mountain that's we call China, you know. So those are mountain peaks. Hawaii is a giant mountain peak, and it's a living witness. It's right looking at Hawaii is a reason, cause, and effect that we know this is how the Earth was created. Just looking at the mountain lava coming up from Hawaii constantly, and look what it brings forth: minerals, fertile rim minerals. I mean, it can grow plants beyond our comprehension. So, and then it got seeds in itself and minerals in itself that it can maintain life, you know. So we see that and we read that, we covered that the earth brought forth plants and fruits and things like that from these volcanic activities. But then you got some of these volcanic activities that are ashes, you know, that can't bring forth seeds, you know, that just could call land masses. Some places in the world can't grow certain things. That's also for volcanic activity, you know. But for the most part, most volcanic activity can grow anything. Ask Italy. Ask Italy. Italy is on the top of a giant mountain, and they keep building on top of this mountain like that. Those three mountains ain't active. You know, but how can you not be around that? How can you not get away from it? I mean, it's too tempting not to get away from it. Why? Because the land is too fertile not to pass up. Two is because the land mass is increasing. Once the volcanic activity take place on that land and destroy that land, all that land become free. You can buy it because nobody own it. You can't stake no claim on something that's destroyed and moved and mapped over. So it's almost impossible not to pass that up, to live there, saying that, you know, that's the law. You know, and then like I said, it's too tempting not to pass up because it's too fertile. You know, that even though it's extremely dangerous and extremely volatile, I mean, those mountains are extremely volatile, that is to say volcanic, they're still fertile. And then what else is it? We said we got the fruit, this, that, and the other, and we got the mountain tree. Okay, continue.
Amen.
Yeah.
Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
So now he put inside of this firmament that we just got to describe it, you know, this firmament that he created on the second day that's sovereign. You know, when you read about the firmament, it's declared sovereign. It's nothing we can do with it. We have no bounds on the firmament. None on nothing in the firmament, whether it's in this right here, this 100th of a second off of the earth, to the air that the plane's flying in, to the outside of our ozone where the satellites are flying around it, to the ends of heaven, where that second Waterbury at, that he referred to as seas. It's no such thing as ocean, it's seas. So before the mountains, it was seas. And so he allowed the mountains to come up from the sea. And then he gave the sea laws that you don't cover the earth no more. And then he put the other water that's above the firmament, which he put the sun and moon in. It's another sea up there. So what do this the sun? What is the law for the sun and the moon? To give light on the earth, not through the water. That's why the further you go down in the sea, it get dark. You know, even our ships, our submarines can only go so far before the sea will destroy it. That's why we don't have a ship that can go through the water. You know, like Stargate, you see that, and it's they pass through water. It's a water barrier. They're going through heaven. No, they're not. But what they are saying that there are dimensions, and I do agree with that, because dimension comes from the word domain. So I get that. You know, he said, I gave man dominion over the earth and everything that's in it, not heaven and not in his world, but anything that's in the spiritual realm. We can't go back and forth through that, you see. So that's another conversation. We haven't gotten to Adam yet. We're going to get to that. But the thing is this is that he gave this sun and the moon. He put that in the heavens, what, to give light upon the earth. And for time, what do you mean? It was a thing called time in the beginning before there was the sun and the moon, because the evening and the morning was declared as the first day. So that's time. What was it before then? Eternity. Before he declared it an evening and a morning, it was just eternity. That's a form of time. Even though it's unlimited time, even though it's time bounded, you know, what do you mean is time been bounded? Because why? It had a start point. He had to create it. He had to create eternity, so eternity have a beginning. In the beginning, eternity. So he put the sun in there to actually give a gauge on a thing that we already had in time that existed was eternity. We covered that when we dealt with the fourth day. We dealt with the fact of how we got these different clocks inside of time. You know, the evening, the morning, the first day, you got twilight, then you have dawn, then you have the evening and things like that. You know, we kind of went in on that. Then we also figured out how to, you know, the sun, when he created the sun, he gave it a gravitational pull. Where did the gravity come from? Well, it came from the firmament. Well, where did the gravity of the firmament come from? Well, it came from nothing. When God put a compass on the depths in Proverbs chapter 8. When he put a compass on nothing, when he put north, east, west, no, north, east, south, and west on nothing, he caused nothing to go in circles because it had nowhere else to go. He bound nothing. That's why I said nothing is the most powerful. Nothing is the most powerful force in the whole creation. What do you mean? Because nothing gave us gravity. Not just us, but the entire cosmos. Everything in this planet, everything in the cosmos got a form of gravity to it. Even the moon. The moon got a certain form of gravity. You can walk on the moon, but you can bounce on the moon too. But you can walk on the moon because it got a certain level of gravity. Then some planets got so much gravity on it. Some planets have so much gravity that if we landed on it, we'd just turn into particles. We'd dissolve. The gravitational pull is so great, it'll dissolve us. I mean, instantly, we'd turn into nothing. That's how great the gravity pull is in some planets, you know, and so forth. That may put us, you know, closer to the beginning. Maybe that planet is closer to the beginning than what we think. Or maybe that force right there is where, you know, it's kind of generating. But anyway, we found out that sun and the moon and the stars is all rotating. And what did he do? He gave us a clock. What clock? 360. He gave us a clock that's 360 that goes around in circles. What do you mean? The seasons go in circles. You got the summer and the moon, summer and winter, summer and winter, summer and winter. It goes around and around and around and around. It never ceases to end. Those are the laws and the statutes that he gave us in the beginning. Well, he gave the sun and the moon and the stars that operation, that law, to make sure those things continue for us to see in the continuing. So what do? We put names on them. We put names on the months and stuff like that we can be reminded of them and things like that. So we got that. But what do you mean he gave us time? He put it in a rotation on the clock. Well, if you look at the clock, it's 360. 12, 3, 6, 9, 12. That's 360, right? But we understand it. Zero is nothing. So we can't, if we really looked at that, it would be 3 and 6, because zero is nothing. But because this is how we articulate things, 360, then we say 360. But 3 and 6 is the only thing we really supposed to be articulating, because zero is nothing, right? So what did he give us? 3 plus 6 is what? 9, right? How many planets in our solar system? 9, right? And the last one in our solar system is ice, which came from water. That's a witness that there it is, right? So you got 9 planets in our solar system. How many months a woman is pregnant? 9. Then that child is brought to life. You know, that's gauged by months. You see, if he's, like you said, the sun gave us time windows and things like that. That's part of that, the law, so to say, right? Then you take 360, which is a complete cycle, 12, right? 12, 3, 6, 9, right? Then you start back there. And then you divide that in half, right? Because 6 months is a half a year, right? So 2 divided by 360 is 180. 1 plus 8 is what? 9. Same conversation. So then he put that there, and then he added inside of that conversation things called a jubilee, so forth, which brings us to the coming of the Lord. That's what the jubilee points out, the coming of the Lord. That's 9. Then you look at Adam, right? He's created. He got 6 days of work, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Mind you, I'm not saying the earth is 6,000 years old. I'm saying this creation of us. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. I haven't gotten Adam yet. I'm just bringing us up to speed. Just to identify that the clock in the fourth day is manipulating us and has us bound inside of it. So 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. Here come Adam, right? Then you start over. The 6,000 in the creation already, 6,000 years. That don't stop. Adam's first day is here. Then you go, Adam's second day is the Sabbath day. So then you start, you keep counting. And then you count to 9 for Adam. Because you got to count to 9 because that's the end of time. Because you got to start back over again. And guess what? The 9th day of Adam is the 14th day of the creation. We still happen to be the Passover. Go figure, right? Mm-hmm. Who knew? The 14th day, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's look at that. Let's say 1 plus 5, 1 plus 4, 14 is what? 5, right? 5 plus 9 is what? 14. Duh. It's right there. I mean, but that's the thing. That's the time window that God gave us to operate on. We cover that 2 and 14 in the fourth day, you know. And now we're getting off of the fifth day is what we're dealing with, is this side of this creation. We got, you know, like the seasons and things like that. And this is why, you know, it's, we're really animate about, you know, keeping the calendar of God, the prophetic calendar, versus, you know, the lunar calendar, because the God of Israel say we children of light, not children of darkness. The lunar calendar is dark. The children of light calendar is the solar system. So we operate according to the solar, not lunar. If I can say that, right? Right. So with that being said, giving a quick summary of that, let's go right into the next. Let's pick it up at verse 20.
Amen. Genesis 1 and 20 reads,
yes, ma'am.
And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea. And let fowl multiply in the earth. and the evening and the morning were the fifth day.
Now, this is where we are now. We're in the fifth day. Now, we're finna articulate what God has allowed us to see. I'm not saying this to end all, be all, everything in the creation. I'm not that person. I'm not even foolish enough to say that this is my creation to even talk about. This is my lesson, and you know, this is from God. And when I read this, and I read these things that belong to him, I see, first of all, I see Moses. I see the first person he taught the creation to was Moses. This is Moses. Moses wrote Genesis, and the God of Israel gave it to Moses. He's telling him, Moses, what this is right here. He's the one that taught him first. And then when I read that, then I read the brothers and the sisters that he educated from Moses articulate the creation. And I find out that I'm way down the food chain when it comes to that. And for me to say that this is my precept or anything like that is pompous, it's arrogant, it's full of pride, and I'm lying. You feel me? I'm only sharing, you know, and I can only wish that I could articulate it like my God, and I can only wish I could articulate it like my elders, like they did, you know, like Daniel's, for instance, and Job, you know. When you read his story, it's full of the creation and things like that. And then when you read Daniel's and you read Ezekiel, he's, you know, he's a student in astronomy, not astrology, astronomy. You know, he's a student at, he's a student in that thing as well. So we got a lot of elders as students. Solomon was another dude that was a student of astronomy. You know, so we got a lot of elders that taught us about some things and that belong to these things. Now we're dealing with the water and the fishing and all this type of thing. We got our teachers that's talking about this. So this is what we're finna get into here. What is this fifth day? Well, one, we found out one, right? Okay, let's pull that up. Okay, one. If you look at your keypad on your phone, right? If you look at the keypad on your phone, it has 9 digits on it, right? And let me do this. I'm going to pull this up quickly so we can understand where we're going. All right? All right. All righty. Praise God. All right. This is what your phone keypad looked like. Right? See that? Okay. First day, fourth day, Sabbath day. Second day is water. Fifth day is water. The eighth day, there will be no more seas, no more waters. I mean, this is actually circumcision of flesh and blood. Why? Because we're going to find out why. 8 is there. 3 is the earth. 6 is man coming from the earth. And 9, New Jerusalem coming down to the earth. 1, 4, 7. 2, 5, 9. 3, 6, 9. So the conversation is even in your keypad. You've been looking at it the whole while. And God been telling you, there it is. I've been trying to tell you, but we are not listening. So this is what we're trying to get to right here. What are we dealing with now? Now we're dealing with this. We're dealing with 2, right? Because the water was here, and he separated the firmament from that, and now we're dealing with 5. So 2 and 5. This is what we're dealing with 5 right now, right? 2 is the water. 5 is the things that come for the water, from the waters. 8 is the same conversation. We ain't got to 8 yet. We're going to get to that. But 8 is where the water comes from. No, the creation don't end on the 7th day. It ends actually on the Passover, which so happened to be the 9th day of man. So, read on. Wow.
Amen.
Let's start it back over at verse 20.
Genesis 1 and verse 20.
Yes, ma'am.
And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven.
So we see a lot of things taking place right here on the first day, right? In the fifth day, we see here, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that have life. So what's the first thing that water brought forth? Blood. Plasma. Without that, there's no life. Ain't nothing on this planet don't have plasma in it. Nothing. It may look different. The insects, the animals, the fish, every last, the creeping things in the bottom of the sea, every last one of them have plasma. Every last one, including us. We all have blood. That's what water brought forth, blood. Without blood, there's no such thing as life. None. Even the insects, even the trees, the trees and the vegetation have a form of blood in it. That's why the God of Israel called it the blood of the grapes, right? The water brought forth blood. Let's look at that. Let's look at this life that the water bring forth, right? Let's start this in Revelations chapter 22:1. Revelation 22:1, when you receive your reading.
Amen. Revelation chapter 22:1 reads,
yes, ma'am.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
See, that's where the water came from at the gate in day one. You know, when he said, when he created the heavens and the earth, And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. That's it. This is the water that covered the earth. This is the water that blessed when he called the earth to come up out of the water, all the vegetations and all that type of stuff. This water gave it life, because in the water is life. You know, even in metaphor speaking, you know, in the baptism is life, you know, and that why. So it's the same conversation, but the water brought life. You know, if there's no water, think about the deserts, right? If the desert in Arizona was covered in water, do you not know that all sorts of vegetation would grow outside of that, out of that sand? I mean, vegetation that we couldn't even conceive, right? And then we'd be looking at things that probably would give us extra years, you know. If it rained in the desert of Nevada, Arizona, and places like that, or the Sahara, right? Things like that. If it rained, say the water covered those places like it do in Illinois or Michigan and place like that, if that water hit them places like that, that the sand would give up the life that's in it, because that water is full of life. That's the law, that the water brings forth life. There it is. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. That's from him. So in the water was already life. In the water was already blood. No kind of strange. Without water, there's no blood. Mm-hmm. Even when we do our DNA, when somebody's dead and they take, you know, they die, their body's decayed and dried up. They could take the sample of their dry blood, tap water on it, and it'll come to life. You'd be able to see what sex that person was, how old they was, and everything. Because in the water is life. Right? So that's all the things came from water. Even us, before we was created, he caused it the earth to be covered again, and here we came. You know, that's why, you know, I marvel at it. I'm not really sure if that's an accurate statement, but I'm just going to repeat it anyway, that our bodies is what? 70% water, and the earth is 70% water. Okay. Read that again.
Amen. So verse 1 again?
Yeah, verse 1 and
Revelation
read that.
22.
And 1 and read to the 2.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation.
So, you know, this is that conversation.
Wow.
Now we see, even in the kingdom of God, you got this water coming from who? From the throne of God, full of life.
Wow.
You know, my brother tried to teach this some many moons ago, and he got ostracized for it, broke his heart, and he died. You know, to this day, that ain't happening to me. If you can't get with it, that's your problem. Your concerns is not mine. Anyway, where are we? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and pick it up at verse 6. Because remember now, this water is from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. And now pick it up at 1 and 1 and 2 first. Okay? Pick it up at 1 and 2. And 1 and verse 2, and then we're going to skip down to the 6.
Amen.
May you receive and read.
Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 reads, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water.
So where did this water come from? Once again, it came from the throne, as we read in Revelation chapter 22. Right? And so when we look at this water, we like, oh, okay, when you say water, you know, it's just, you know, is it a cup of water? Is it a, you know, bathtub of water? Is it a swimming pool full of water? What do he mean water when he said it came and it covered the face of the earth? What do he mean by this when he said the waters covered the earth right here? What do this mean? Go into Genesis chapter 1 and 6.
Genesis
1 and 6.
Oh, Genesis 1 and 6 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.
Okay, so now we already covered that. We
right.
dealt with that. So we got this firmament where the sun and the moon is at, and then we got this water above it, and then we got this water beneath it, which is where we are on the earth. And you got this water barrier that's going over, that's over the whole cosmos. This is why the sun don't give us enough light for our telescope to see heaven, because the further you go into the sea, the darker it gets. Mm-hmm. What do you mean sea? Well, if he divided the waters from the waters, and in Genesis chapter 1 and verse, verse 10, read 10.
Okay.
So he called the waters this, that he separated, he gave it a name. Right? So the water that he created, everything to come from it, got a name. Read verse 10.
Genesis 1 and 10.
Yes, ma'am.
Genesis 1 and 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called
he
seas.
So it's the sea. He called it seas. So when he said, let there be life, and he said, let the seas bring forth life out of them. Let the sea bring forth life out of it. That's what he brought. That's what he meant when he separated the waters from the waters. He separated the sea from the sea. That means on the earth, you got a sea, not an ocean, seas. No such thing as ocean. Ocean is a pagan term, like Poseidon and Neptune and Aquaman. You know, all those are like fairy tales. Anyway, but sea is the literal term for the waters that we actually looking at when he said separate the waters from the waters. He separated the sea from the sea. What do you mean? Let's go into Psalms chapter 148 and verse 4. Psalms 148 and verse 4. Let's look at this law being played out first. And then watch he put a name on it again. Psalms 148 verse 4, when you receive it, read.
Psalms 148:4 reads, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens.
See that? So you got waters above the heavens. What do you mean? It's right here. It's 1/100th of a second off the earth, even outside of our ozone, even outside our cosmos, even outside our universe, even outside the cosmos. There's a water barrier that's over the earth, right? And it's going in circles. It got a circle. It got a movement too, just like the waters on the planet. Everything is moving in a circle because when he bound nothing, he forced it to go in a circle, north, east, south, and west. That's the nature of our clock. It do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So the sun and our solar system is doing the same thing. So the water that's above the heavens is doing the same thing. You know, what do the waters above the heavens generate? Just like the waters on the earth generate what? Electricity, lightning, thunders, stuff like that. Just same thing is here. Same thing is doing the same thing up there. But back to the fact is that this water that's above the heaven and the water that's below the heavens is called seas. What do you mean? Let's go into 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 23. Solomon just built the temple, right? He's building the temple. And our temple, when he built it, you didn't need a priest to sit around and give you a lecture. It was self-explanatory. You know, the temple itself, if you was living in Jerusalem, like, you know, like people want to say Timbuktu was a mecca of learning and things like that and books. Well, same thing for Jerusalem and Israel. It was a mecca for learning and things like that, especially in the days of David and Solomon. And in the days of Solomon, it was definitely a mecca of learning because Solomon was the wisest man on the planet. So he had scribes writing stuff, you know, pertaining to the wisdom of God. So even in the different parts of the world, you can see the literature that came from Solomon still articulated in this conversation. What did I say? 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 23.
Okay. 1 Kings chapter 7.
And 23.
And verse 23 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
And he made a molten sea. 10 cubits from the one brim to the other.
He made a what?
Molten sea.
That's sea, right? But this is inside the temple, right? Mm-hmm. Read on.
And he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about.
Stop. So he just showed you right here and there. Solomon is telling you that the cosmos is in a circle. It's in a circle, you know. So he's telling you the firmament is in a circle, right? It's in a circle. Then he's just told you that the sea that's above the water, right, that we just got to reading about, that Moses told us about, and now David told us about it. Now here goes Solomon is telling us about it. This water that's above the waters, right, is going in a circle. If you look at this conversation, it says it's what? In fact, do me a favor. Read 23.
1 Kings 7:23.
Right.
And he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under the brim of it round about, there were knops compassing it, 10 and a cubit compassing the sea roundabout.
Wait a minute. What is compassing the sea? What is compassing the sea? A compass.
Sorry, you might have to look that up.
I'm looking it up now. So what we reading here now that above the firmament is a conversation of a compass. That is to say, the waters is going in a circle above the firmament. This water above the firmament has life in it, like the waters on our earth. And the planets inside and so forth. This is why when the waters are separated from the waters, you got these planets is moving around. They got liquid on them. They got life on them. It's just that we can articulate that life. So with that being said, I'm looking at this word compass, and it says it's a device used to determine a geographic direction, right? So the book just told us that the waters above the heavens and the waters on the planet, the waters above the heaven got a geographic direction. It got a direction. It says this, usually consisting of a magnetic needle and a needle horizontally mounted, suspended in a free to pivot until aligned with the Earth's magnetic field. Why? Because it's the water that's above the heaven is from the Earth. So it's in line with the waters that's on Earth. Same conversation, the same flow. The way the water flow on Earth is the same way the water flow in heaven, right? And it says this. Enclosing line, boundary, circumferences. What? Circumferences. So the water above the heavens is moving in a what? Circumference. The boundary lines in the area object. Length of such line, a margin, an area surrounding something. So Solomon was on point. That's why he said it was round. The sea that's above the earth and the sea that's on the earth, the sea that's above the earth, the house, the heavens, and everything like that is going in a circle. Anybody tell you that the earth is flat is flat. Like a can of Coke. They that flat. They flat. They out of here. They flat. Yeah. And that's how it should come across to you. Somebody should have been trying to tell you the earth is flat. They should taste like a hot, flat can of Coke. That's how flat they are. Anybody try to tell you the earth is flat, have no knowledge of God. None. None. They don't know God. They don't even believe in him. Sound like to me, the law is just fine of itself. Circumference, it says this. Mathematics. Ooh, here we go again. 1 + 1 = 2. Mathematics, the boundary of a specific area, a geometric figure, especially of a circle. So the waters above the heavens or the firmament is moving in a circle. That's why you got that swirl in the back of your head. Yeah. You know, when you get your hair cut or when you get your hair braided, the women get their hair braided, you can see it. You can see that little swirl back there. Right here, usually right here in the right side of your head, it starts right there and it kind of goes out. It's indicative of the cosmos or the grand scheme of things, you know. Same thing with tornadoes and hurricanes and stuff like that. So the firmament is moving in a circle. That's why when your tornadoes produce, your hurricanes, they do the same thing. And your earth, like they said, well, this earth is spinning this X amount of 1,000 miles per hour. And how come we're not being flew off? Well, it was this ride in a carnival that we used to call it Fun Time when I was a kid. And they had this thing called Fast Wheel. And it spun around so fast, then the floor dropped. But we'd be pent up against the wall. It's not that we was, you know, like magnetically drawn to the wall, but because we were going so fast, it created gravity. There it is. So people want to sit up and say, well, if the earth is flat, how come we're being slung off of it? Well, it's just that simple, but some people, it's just that simple.
I want to just tell you that that's why the crown was the highest point. So that's called the highest point on top of your head. The highest point on top of your head is also known as your vertex, which is known as your crown. This is called the vertex, which is also known as your crown.
And what's a vertex?
Vertex?
Yeah. I mean, you brought it up. What is it?
Okay. So vertex. There it is. Oh, here we go with these commercials. 1, 2, 1. Skip commercial. Thank you. Vertex is the highest point, the apex or summit, the highest point of the skull, the top of your head. Celestial body. Mathematics, the point at which the size of
In mathematics what?
mathematics, the point at which the sides of an angle intersect with one another.
Case in point. If the earth is flat, it won't intersect. If the earth is flat, it'll just go boom, flat out. That's why you can't, that's why the Darwin, you know, the earth is a big bang theory. If it was a big bang, it'd just go flat out. It wouldn't go in a circle, you know.
Amen.
So even that is indicative of that conversation, you see? Same conversation that, you know. But anyway, I'm just going to read that mathematics, the length enclosed by a geometrical curve, and it says, especially of a circle, the circumference of a circle is equal to the diameter multiples by 2. Okay. Anyway, so let's get back to the First Kings again, and let's read that story. So now we got that conversation. Now we got a witness that Solomon knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
What? So Solomon was on point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you receive a read.
Okay, so I finished off where you did the definition.
So mind you, remember now, we're dealing with the firmament.
Mm-hmm.
You see the firmament? Oh, man, excuse me. Put this back up. Okay. Now mind you, we're dealing with the firmament, which is 2. And water, 5. You see how these two are having the same conversation with each other? They're articulating each other. See that? Both of them got life. Both of them got power of life. And both of them bring forth electricity. Both of them is bound by numerals. And both of them is bound by numbers. Even blood has a number to it. It's called genes. Your genes has a number. That's how we can know who this particular race is, or that race is, or this race is, or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, because the blood is telling you the truth.
Oh, amen, man.
Yeah. You tell how many, a woman sit there, she a virgin, you let go take a DNA sample of that thing down there, you find out how many people she lay with.
Yeah.
In her lifetime.
Yeah, amen.
But you don't want to know.
No.
But anyway, let's read that Solomon again. Let's pick that back up. Okay, because now we see that. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse, no, it would have been 24.
Go back to 24
again? Yeah, we read 23. Because it said the height of it and the lines would come past it round about.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we found out that Solomon was on point by saying it was round about. And that when he created the temple, it was self-explanatory. When we draw the temple of God, it looked like a square. It's not. It wasn't. It was not. It looked more like the dome of the rock. But bigger. Read on.
Amen. 24. And under the brim of it, round about, there were knops compassing it, 10 in a cubit, compassing the sea round about. The knops were cast into 2 rows when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, there looking toward the north, and 3 looking toward the west, and 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. And the sea was set above upon them.
See that?
And all their hinder parts were inward.
See that? So we see here that the cattle was like north, south, east, and west, right? Like that. And then the sea was around all of it. See that? There it is. So we're surrounded by the sea. That's why the sun and the moon can't articulate light in the bottom of the sea, because the law is that the sun and the moon is to give light upon the earth, not water. So the further you go down, the darker it gets. That's why our telescopes cannot see heaven, because there's a sea up there that's going in circles that man has said, you know what, the heavens is expanding. No, it's moving. It's moving. Expanding. It's moving. And the depths of it is beyond comprehension. Let's get back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20.
Okay.
Right? Genesis 1 and 20, when you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 20, read. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth, in the open firmament of heaven. And God
said... Stop. So now he said, let the waters bring forth the living creatures that have life, right? Okay, now let's look at that. Let's go into Genesis chapter 9 and 3. So now the water going to bring forth what? Genesis 9 and 3, when you receive it, read.
Genesis chapter 9 and verse 3 reads,
yes.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as a green herb have I given you all things.
There it is. That's what the waters brought forth. Every living thing, right? Continue.
Amen. Verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
You're not supposed to be eating blood, live cannibals, you know, live animals. You're not supposed to be eating them like an animal. See that? That killed that steak with blood all running out of it. Chef Ramsay won't be cooking in the kingdom. I mean, that's your boy, but I'm just saying. He would not be in the kingdom cooking for nobody we know. Nobody. You know what he'll do? He'll revamp his menu. He'll revamp the temperature on that oven. And then he'll come again after he got the dietary laws menu. There won't be no blood running out of it. There won't be no pink in it. I mean, none of that. Damn sure there won't be no lobsters, shrimps, and all that garbage. Won't be none of that. You know, who knows? I ain't saying Chef Ramsay won't get in the kingdom. I'm just saying he won't be cooking for us unless he revamped that menu. It got to be done. Got to drain all the blood out of it. You got to cook it till it's done. You know, like when we go out and we eat and say we order some this flesh, like a steak or something like that, we, you know, want it well done. We have to say well done, no pink. That usually means they're going to bring it out burnt, scorched. You know, and all we're saying, we just don't want to see no pink, that's all. But anyway, we found out that the water brought forth what? Blood, plasma. The water has life in it. It has blood inside of it. That's the life of everything. That's the life of us. That's the life of insects. That's the life of birds, fish, even the plants. Botany has blood. You know. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into... Genesis chapter 3 and 17. Yes, ma'am. No, Leviticus. Leviticus 3 and 17. Leviticus 3 and 17, when you receive it, read.
Leviticus 3 and 17 reads, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood.
Yeah. That's why, you know, when you're sitting down and you people are eating fat and stuff like that, then, you know. Yeah. My battery's...
Why the hell is that?
Just give me the long cord or whatever.
Okay.
It's just down to 1%. I'm trying not to let this thing cut off. It just got dim, so I'm like, uh-oh, got an issue. Got a problem, Houston. I need you to hurry.
I'm hurrying.
Hurry up, chop, chop. No, he's giving it to me for it. I mean, you got to plug it up over there. Let me see.
No, put it up right there.
Oh.
Right there.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fine. Excuse me.
Excuse you.
Okay. Yeah. Did I do it?
don't know. Don't look like it. Still saying it's all the same.
Baby, well, you're almost done and it should be fine.
Try to put it in there. Okay. Okay.
Keep going, baby. You're almost done.
Well, here, put this right there because I don't want it to go out.
Just go ahead. You have to hit this. You got to make sure this is all in there.
Still not doing that.
This is a distraction. Just keep going.
Well.
You're good.
Nope, it's in. Battery about to run out. Just plug it up right there, man.
Plug it up right where?
Right behind you. See?
Okay, is it good now?
I hope so. I don't know. Well, we'll find out. But anyway, what was that? Leviticus? Chapter 3 and 17. So we're not supposed to eat fat or blood. Amen. And go to Deuteronomy chapter 12 in verse 16.
Deuteronomy?
12 and 16.
Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 16 reads, only ye shall not eat the blood. Ye shall pour it upon the earth as water.
See that?
Wow.
Pour it upon the earth as what?
Water.
Case in point, giving it back to where it came from.
Wow.
Safe and self-explanatory.
Wow.
See that? That's the law. Go to Exodus chapter 7 and 17.
Exodus
7:17. Yes, ma'am. Got one more after this. Exodus 7 and 17, when you receive it, read.
Thus said the Lord, and this, that thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood.
Case in point. Couldn't do it if the water wasn't, or it didn't have plasma.
Right.
See that? Same conversation. The water got blood in it. When he created, when he said in the fifth day, let the water bring forth life, he said, let it bring forth blood. Right? Mm-hmm. We still haven't brought where the water came from, though. That's another conversation.
Right.
We're going to be here for that next week because we are running out of time. And it's, we got one more scripture. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 20. Genesis 1 and 20. And when you receive it, read.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20 reads, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and living creatures that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day.
Now, with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We're going to edify someone. We're going to come back to this, and we're going to be dealing with this fifth day part two, right?
Amen.
Because it's a lot more to this conversation than we've been told. Obviously, when you look at it like this.
Amen.
See that? Because remember now, firmament, blood, no more blood.
Amen.
Why is it blood in the firmament? That's the next question. Why is it blood in the firmament? Why blood in the firmament? Isn't that the air? That's the open air?
Mm.
Because birds is in a firmament. He put blood in a firmament. Let's do one more thing before we jet. 1 John chapter 8. 1 John chapter 8. No. John 19 and 31.
John 19:31. When you receive it, read.
John 19:31. Okay. Going down to verse 31.
Why is it blood in the firmament? Why is that a law? Continue.
The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For the Sabbath day was a high day. Besides Pilate, that their leg might be broken and that they might be taken away.
So Jesus is on the cross. He's not on the earth. He's on the cross.
Amen.
He's in the firmament.
Amen.
Read on.
Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his leg. And one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water.
That's why I was in the firmament.
Amen.
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 What came from him?
Blood and water.
Now we know where water came from.
Blood.
From God.
Amen.
So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone as we say here, you know, at the Sounds of Living Waters. Hold on.
Hold on.
Yeah. But we're going to say shalom to our family on Facebook. Yeah. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time out. We hope we edify someone and that, you know, hey, you stuck it out, hung out with us to get into this conversation. With all that being said, we thank you for your time. In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Shabbat shalom, fam.
Shabbat shalom.
And our family here, we want to say as well, Shabbat shalom, Israelites.
Shabbat shalom. Grace and peace. Grace and peace unto the family and those listening to the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Brother Keith. I just want to say that was a blessing, an excellent lesson that the Lord put on your heart, Brother Job. And as always, excellent reading, Sister Rhea, and with the opening prayer as well. I just need probably maybe a couple of scriptures that I wanted to reiterate. And I'll be brief. Let's see. One of them is in Jeremiah 2:13. Okay. So, in... Excuse me. In Jeremiah 2:13 reads, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out of cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled?" Then it says to go to Jeremiah 17:13. And in Jeremiah 17:13 reads, it says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." Which to me kind of forsaken, they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Okay, I got a couple more here. So I'm going to go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7:17 reads, It says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So from what I'm learning is from this blood and water, it came from out of the throne of God from the living waters that heals mankind. So that was an excellent lesson. Grace and peace unto the family. And with that, I close.
Amen. Amen. Praise be the Lord. And we want to say thank you for that. And thank you for the edification. We definitely want to thank the family for listening at the Sound of Living Waters. We can get to the family. And give me a second. There we go. And I want to say our family that's in the United States want to say welcome and thank you. Shabbat shalom to you, the family that's in the United States. Amen. Shabbat shalom to you, our family that's in Canada. I want to say Shabbat shalom to you, our family that's in Venezuela. I want to say Shabbat shalom to you, our family that's in Brazil. I want to say Shabbat shalom to you, our family that's in Ireland. I want to say Shabbat shalom to you, our family that's in the United Kingdom. I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Spain, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Switzerland, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Turkey, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Iraq, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in India, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Kenya, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Uganda, Shabbat shalom to you, our family that's in Algeria. I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Brazil, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Japan, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in South Korea, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in the Philippines, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Malaysia, Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Thailand, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Vietnam, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Myanmar, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in Bangladesh, Shabbat shalom to you. And our family that's in Nepal, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. And our family that's in, I said Malaysia, right? And our family that's in New Zealand, I want to say Shabbat shalom to you. Our family that's in India, Shabbat shalom to you. And our family that's in Australia, Shabbat shalom to you. And our family that's in Russia, Shabbat shalom to you. God bless all of you. And everyone, please remember to read your Bibles and to continue in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, then. Well, Godspeed, and we hope and pray that we edify someone. And as we say here, at the Sound of Living Waters, please read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom. Grace and peace unto the family.
Sound of the Living Waters radio show. Sound of the living water,
radio show. We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. your show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.